At the opening of the book of Proverbs, there is a statement of purpose, and then we come to what I would take as our text this morning, verse 7, Proverbs chapter 1 at verse 7. An introduction to the two ways that men live. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Even looking at this, thinking on the different ways that the Bible, Proverbs particularly presents, the different ways men live, I was writing out the word for the number two. How do we spell it? The word for the number two, we say two, we spell T-W-O. And as things are in our day, it's really rather a strange way of writing that sound, that expression. But who would do it any other way? And when you're teaching children to, as they grow up, how to write down the names of the numbers, that's the way you teach them. It's not T-O, it's not T-O-O, it's T-W-O. That's the way to make yourself understood if you're writing out the name of this number. That's as it is. Now, it would be daft, or it would be because you have great difficulties in learning. Otherwise, it would be daft. It would be crazy if you didn't care how you spelt it, if you're trying to get the message across to people. This is the number two. You don't spell it the other ways or people will get confused. When things are the way they are, it's foolish not to care how things are. It's foolish not to learn how things are. It's foolish not to live accordingly. That's the reality that we live with. We sang at the beginning of telling the nations that the Lord is King. Other Psalms and other passages tell us that the world does not want God as their King. But the Psalm tells us, tell the world the Lord is their King. There is one true and living God. Many will say, oh, I don't like this God, I don't want him for my God, but it is unavoidable. The reality is, there is one God. Take, for example, in our own day, there are a lot of people in this country who don't want David Cameron as Prime Minister, but the fact is, he is our Prime Minister. Whether you believe in what he says and does, the fact is, he's Prime Minister. That's the way things are. It's that makes it so foolish. That is the word, foolish. The way that so many choose to live the life that they have, that we have, that you have, the life you have so far. I spoke last week of the way that Jesus is the most divisive person in history, by his own intention. In the entire sweep of human history, every single human soul will have to make their choice regarding him. And there are only two choices. Honor him as King, Lord, come to him as Savior, or not. And it's this that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is especially concerned about. It's not all talk about in the two ways, but almost half of it is. 31 chapters, almost half of it is set out in contrast, the two ways of life on earth. And it's summarized here in this introduction. There's the foolish way, the second part of verse 7, and there's the knowing way, the first part. And it's a foolish way I would talk about first this morning. The choice or the approach of the fool or the fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the introduction. The rest of the book expands on this at great length. But what do we learn even here? Just the words. Let's look at the words for a moment. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what are we talking about? What is it that makes a fool? Essentially, this verse is telling us that you become a fool by despising wisdom and instruction. That's what makes you a fool. Yes, in a way you do despise wisdom and instruction because you are a fool. But it's this that qualifies you to be named a fool when you despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom, in perhaps general terms, is to have insight and ability to live your life well. This is in the Bible. It's saying not simply that, but to live your life well before God, with God as king, under God's rule. He is the maker of the life that you have. Will you live it as he intended? That is biblical wisdom. By way of summary, we learn more as we continue through this book, especially. Wisdom, and we have instruction, or some versions use the word discipline. Instruction perhaps reminds us that these things don't come naturally to man who is wrapped up in sin and in himself. We need to be taught. We need instruction. Not only to be taught, but also to learn, to absorb that instruction, to receive it. Or if it is discipline, it is in that range of words. It's very similar. But discipline also includes a sense of recognizing submission, an order to life, and follow that pattern. I spoke earlier of the word for the number two. And early in life, probably each one of us, if we did try to write it, we probably did write it in some other way than T-W-O, and we thought we had it right. For us, I've suggested already, for those who have learnt these things, it would be a foolish thing to do. But let's remember, it is a childish thing to do too. It is something you would do as a child. But children learn. Children gather. It's something you probably don't think twice about anymore, because you have drawn it in and learnt to live accordingly. You have assimilated. It's become part of you. Remember what Paul said? Notice it's in that chapter we know as the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Who would ever call black white? There perhaps are answers to that, but would you? Why would anyone insist that the earth is flat? In our culture, everyone knows they're not. Everyone knows that the earth is not flat. Everyone knows that black is not white. Isn't that what people think? White is white. Let black stay black. Let cheese be cheese and chalk chalk. That's what they are. Are we able to just go and defy all of these realities? Because that's what I think. The Bible tells us God is king of all the earth. But many will reject that. And so you see, if you talk about colors, you talk about cheese, you talk about the earth, these are simple life skills, and it's understood that you take the truth of the matter and you live by it. You live accordingly. You factor it into the way that you go about your life. But there are some things that some men refuse to accept. And where they are where it is knowledge, and you refuse to accept it, it is to despise it, and to despise the teacher. It's you setting yourself up as the one who determines what truth is. Perhaps very contrary to the reality. And so it is with God. And some would turn around and say, well, the Bible would say that, wouldn't it? And when you preach the Bible, you would say that, wouldn't you? That God is true. The Bible is true about God, about the Lord. Well, bear with it a bit, because Proverbs, as we, I trust, are able to go on through it, give it a hearing. It deals with that from, you might say, even a worldly point of view. It handles and deals with those challenges. Look at what it has to say about daily realities, as we call them. The things that do take up so much of your attention. You say, this is what I have to deal with. This is what's real. But I can touch and feel and hear. Proverbs talks about those things. And with a view to talking about those things, it still comes and says, it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge. God is true. Do you receive him? The fool's choice is to despise this wisdom and instruction. The fool's choice at this point is to say, why bother? I'm not interested. And don't be fooled by yourself. Don't be thrown off the scent by any added with due respect, because there is no respect. It is despising that wisdom. To reject it is to despise it. There is no respect. Every refusal to deal with God as God, however politely phrased it might be, is to despise them. The contrast is the way of knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, you have a very similar statement, but it begins, or it appears, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, and the word wisdom. In this place, though, it is knowledge. The introduction to Proverbs speaks about knowledge. There is a difference. And perhaps even taking it logically, it's a logical impossibility to say you know something that isn't true. How can you know something if it is not true, if it is not real? You can be very certain in your own mind, but it doesn't compare with what is true, what is real. And so the Bible tells us here that there is a way to establish what is true knowledge, knowledge according to truth. Perhaps one of the greatest difficulties in teaching anyone anything, and some of you have done teaching in one form or another, but I tell you, when you come to the Bible, it's one of the most difficult things to try and teach anybody, because the natural man will insist on holding his own opinion. My view is not only valid, but it decides how I approach the Bible. It's so widespread. It's a very proud woman or man or child who will not be taught because they say, I know. Instead, Proverbs 1, verse 7, and what is built on this, tells us it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge. Start there. And the beginning in the sense of the source. It's the place where knowledge flows from. So it's not just you start by this and you can, as it were, leave that just somewhere fading in the background in the rearview mirror and you're building your knowledge because of it. No, it's the continuing source out of which all knowledge must come. The fear of the Lord. We sang in Psalm 130 that it is because the Lord forgives that we fear the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, very simply, spells humility. It says, I'm ready to listen. I will pay attention. Do you remember the time when Jesus was visiting Mary and Martha? And Martha was very busy around the house. And Mary sat very unhelpfully at Jesus' feet. And she listened. And Jesus said, she's doing the one thing that she needs. In fact, the one thing anyone needs. Listening. Hearing his word is the one thing necessary. And he goes on, this will not be taken away from her. It was the lesson Job learnt. I think there is just the one key lesson. It's expressed in various ways, but he came to this place where he acknowledged that it is the Lord who is all-knowing, not me. I might not be able to understand everything that I encounter in life, but I know the Lord does, and it's his purpose. And that suffering that we often focus on in the book of Job, this was his beginning in understanding that suffering. And that is the objective of Proverbs. Those preceding verses 2 through to 6 are telling us this is what I'm aiming for. The Proverbs are so that, that's what it means, to know wisdom and instruction in order to know. But verse 7 reminds us that we, when we look at something in life, which direction are you coming from? I think I've said it before. We often have to give people directions to come here or to visit the house. Perhaps you do as well. And one of the essential first, if not the first essential question you have to ask is, where are you coming from? I give you directions from the other side and you'll be completely lost. Proverbs 7 is telling us, you come to learn and to know and to seek wisdom, come from the right direction. The way that has been found to be true and wise by the writer of the Proverbs and who has put these things to the test. And he tells us, know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the source, the fountain of knowledge. To know things as they are. Jesus said, know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Not to let these things be confused with so much else, or, far worse, to despise them. The truth must begin here, with the fear of the Lord. That is, to humble yourself before him. It is to put him first. It is to give him the honor with devotion, with service. Not just with words. To remember that there is a great deal of life that is and probably will remain unknown to you, hidden. That's what we are reminded of in verses 5 and 6. The wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain counsel too. In order to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the things that are difficult to understand. Build them from the direction of truth and the fear of the Lord. There is a great deal that will be obscure, will be difficult to understand. We learn here that there's a great deal more than that that will always remain obscure to the person who sticks to his own way rather than the fear of the Lord. What happens with somebody who says, no, I can do it, or this is the way I'm going to do it, and somebody who's far more experienced is perfectly ready to teach them? They won't listen. What do you expect? Life is a mess. All the more so. To genuinely listen to the Lord first, to learn from him, Learn from me, Jesus himself said. I am meek and lowly of heart. The world around us is all too enthusiastic to teach its ways, but also all too often it will take you so far, and that's what we read in the following verses, it will take you so far and drop you. It has nothing enduring to offer. Very enthusiastic to say, well, come this way. They're much easier to pick up because that's where we start from. But in response to that, be as deeply troubled by any hint that you yourself might neglect, that is, to despise the opportunity that God gives you through his word. And here, consider your options. Do some thinking. Recognize where these two paths are heading. And one of them is foolish. If you choose not to truly consider way, as Proverbs does, that in itself is, by definition, foolish. Towards the end of last week, I pointed that there are two ways in this life. Some would say two ways to live. It's not really living. There are two ways that men live, that people live. Proverbs lays out its stall here. It gives a new offering. Man on his own will only ever go one way, despising wisdom and understanding and instruction. But here is another that's offered by God himself. And this is what the book intends. This is what it's aiming for. It's laying it out to you and saying, take this path so that you will know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding, receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You talk to people in the world and say, what do you want most? And they will say, justice and equity. This is the way. Why do people keep saying that? Because they haven't found it yet. Because they don't come here to this word of God. To give prudence to the simple that goes out and in all their naivety, they can find wisdom and prudence. Be kept in this life. And to the young man, knowledge, and to the young man, discretion. It's not what young men do well, but you can if you follow the pattern of the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It is, therefore, a wise man who will hear and increase learning. It is a man of understanding who will attain, gain wise counsel, and be able to understand so much more. What is otherwise an enigma, a riddle, thing that you cannot fathom. But you can. If you come in the fear of the Lord, knowledge springs forth in great riches. Let no one be a fool, despising wisdom and instruction. You say, I don't despise it. You refuse it, you despise it. Let's not go there. This is just a beginning. And I trust God will allow us to draw together around the expansion of this in other parts of this wonderful book of Proverbs. May he grant blessing on his word in our gathering together this morning. Let us pray together.